John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. We could call this story from the Gospel of John that we've been reading tonight, Jesus Goes Public, as it's the start of Jesus out in the world, engaged in his public ministry of healing and teaching for the entire world to see. Now, all the gospel writers start Jesus out with a different story because none of them have enough space to write everything that Jesus did. John even tells us at the end of his own gospel that Jesus did a whole lot more than he could ever cover. But it's interesting to note how the different gospels start off Jesus's public ministry because it tells us a little bit about what they're going to do throughout. So, for example, Matthew starts off with Jesus with teaching the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching the people with things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and "Love your enemies." And Mark, because Mark is all about action, Jesus starts by exorcising a demon from a man. And Luke, Jesus goes to the temple, reads from the Old Testament, and is rejected by the people in his hometown. And then we have John. And in John, Jesus goes to a wedding. It may seem strange at first, like imagine you have just read the other gospels that start out with teachings and healings and pretty dramatic stuff, and then you get to John and you read that on the third day and you get really excited for something to happen and it turns out that Jesus just went to a wedding. Now, of course, if you're listening to the scripture this evening, you know that something does happen at the wedding. First, they run out of wine. Now, word about both weddings and wine in the first century. Weddings were a much bigger deal than they are today. They went on for days and days, and the whole town came. We assume that there are a few days into the wedding at this point, and there are probably several hundred, if not 1,000 people there celebrating. With wine, remember, that was all that they had to drink. Water was contaminated. So without any wine, not only would the party suffer, but this horde of people would have nothing to drink. It would have been a wedding faux pas on the same level as just not having any food at all today. So they ran out of wine. Thankfully, Jesus is there with his mother. And his mother knows that Jesus can do something about this. After some prodding, Jesus tells the servants to fill six jars that held 20 to 30 gallons each, so not small, with water. And then he told them to draw some of the liquid out and take that to the chief steward, so the guy in charge. And when he tasted it, it wasn't water, it was wine. And not just any wine, we're told. It's the best wine. Jesus saves the day, turns water into wine, and performs his first public miracle in the Gospel of John. Which is great, right? Except for one thing. Nobody seems to know that it happened. Of the hundreds of people there, only Jesus, his mother, his disciples and the servants know that anything miraculous happened. Everybody else just thinks that they ran out of wine, told the host, and the host, because he's really great, brought out the best wine that they had been saving until the end of the party. And then, to make matters even stranger, the story concludes with this verse. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. There's a lot packed into that single verse. First, we learn that this was the first of Jesus' signs. We know it's the first because it's really the first thing that Jesus has done. But we need to know some things about the signs. In the Gospel of John, anytime Jesus does a miracle, it's not referred to as a miracle, but a sign. Now you might think, well, why does that matter? Well, here's the thing. In the Gospel of John, miracles, whether it's turning water into wine or healing a blind man or feeding 5,000 people or raising a man from the dead, they're not just flashy things that Jesus does to get our attention. They are signs to show us who Jesus is. The first sign is turning water into wine. The last sign is Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead. And that there are six other signs that happen in between those two. And the signs show us who Jesus is. And they show us what's required to us as followers of Christ. So what then does turning water into wine show us about who Jesus is and how we should live? Well, if we go back to verse 11, we get a hint. This sign, we're told, revealed Jesus' glory. Again, sort of strange at first because this is like the least glorious of all of Jesus' signs. Soon he's going to be healing people and walking on water and feeding 5,000 and bringing his friend Lazarus back from the dead. Here he turns some water into wine and about 0.1% of the people affected even knew that Jesus had anything to do with it. But what if that really is the glory of Jesus? What if Jesus actually came to show us that the glory of God is happening all around us? What if we're just as likely to experience the glory of God when wine runs out at a wedding as we are in a church during a big, extravagant worship service? What if Jesus is just as likely to do something miraculous on 2:30 on a Tuesday afternoon as he is when we're at church on Monday night? It seems like that this first sign of Jesus demonstrates to us that Jesus came to the ordinary and the everyday. That the glory of Jesus is at work even in the seemingly mundane moments of our lives. That Jesus doesn't just show up for big, life-changing moments, but that Jesus shows up for all our moments. And when Jesus shows up, anything can happen. If we actually believed that about Jesus, that he was there in all our moments, and that when Jesus was there, anything can happen, well, it would dramatically change how we live our lives. If the sign shows us that Jesus is a part of all of our lives, not when we're just doing something we consider holy, well, imagine how many more opportunities we would have to see and participate in the glory of God. Just think how the daily, the ordinary, even the mundane moments of your life would look if you believed that Christ was with you, working through you to love and care for others. How would 9 a.m. on a Monday morning when you're showing up for work look? How would meeting a friend for lunch at noon on a Tuesday look? How would going to the grocery store at 3 on a Wednesday look? How would going to a Zoom meeting at 10 on a Thursday look? How would watching grandkids on Friday morning look? How would these moments look if you believed the glory of God was just waiting to be revealed, that anything was possible in these moments? Well, we would seek to serve Christ in all these places and at all these times. We would understand that the glory of Christ doesn't just happen in big moments, but in small moments. When somebody lonely is cared for, when somebody in need is provided for, when somebody unnoticed is noticed, when somebody unloved is loved. This is exactly how we're called to live. We seek to serve Christ where we are, because Jesus is there. Because Jesus came to earth to reveal his glory in these moments. Jesus is there in homes and in workplaces and schools and restaurants and hospitals and cars, in church, wherever we are. And when Jesus is there, anything is possible. So be a part of that anything. Seek to serve God wherever you are in whatever you do. The sign of Jesus turning water into wine shows us that Jesus is one who reveals his glory in all situations. And when Jesus reveals his glory, anything is possible. So be on the lookout for the glory of God, and then see what you can do to be a part of it. Everywhere, every day, all the time.